You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast, and today's show we have Joe Lieber from Cleveland. Joe, how you doing?
How you doing today, Ken?
I'm doing very good. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Joe and I, and yet another guy that's in my mastermind group, and Joe, like I mentioned, is out of Cleveland, and he is the self-proclaimed ghettoologist. Isn't that right?
That is right, buddy. That's what they call me.
And I have actually, so about a year ago, I flew up to Cleveland and I hung out with Joe for a couple days, and I saw the ins and the outs of Cleveland, and I got to be honest, I was blown away. I thought it was, you know, you sort of think of the Rust Belt. If you've never been to Cleveland, you don't know a whole lot about it, you may not have the best impression, but I came away after 3 days and I thought it was one of the coolest towns I'd been to, and the real estate blew me away. And Joe's actually been up there in Cleveland, I mean, scooping up rental properties like nobody's business. So maybe, Joe, you can tell us a little bit more about how you got into real estate and kind of where you are today.
Very good. Well, thanks, Ken. My rise in real estate has been nothing but easy. I definitely went through the school of hard knocks. And as I like to say, I've earned my PhD in ghettoology. And I started in real estate back in 1998, right out of high school, pretty much. With no training, I decided I wanted to get into real estate. I didn't know what that meant, though. Get into real estate, make money in real estate. I didn't know anything about that. How do you actually make money in real estate? And there's really many ways, but as a 19-year-old, you probably can imagine, with no guidance, no training, and no family, how are you going to figure this out? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did that, and I got with a friend who, the day he got out of high school, he was the lucky one, I guess, because he got a job in construction. I never forget, we were standing there that hot June day, and he was very proud to tell me works for a construction company, and he was making $19.45 an hour. Now, let me tell you, as an 18-year-old, that was just about all the money in the world. And I was quite jealous. Well, at any rate, I thought the next best thing to do would be, why don't I get with him, and we go get a bank loan, because he has this big pay stub. So we did that. And we went and we bought a house here on the west side of Cleveland, and we were going to fix it up and flip it. Well, it didn't go like that. We fixed it up. 18 months later, him and I are looking in the mirror going, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? We can't sell this place. So eventually it did sell, and we each lost $4,000.
Oh no. Yeah. As a 20-something, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, especially because mine was sitting on my Discover card.
Oh no.
And my parents weren't real happy with me, so I was trying to go to the local university, and I'm carrying all this debt now for my real estate losses, which they told me was going to happen anyways, and of course they were right. And on from there, you just keep building and growing and developing and learning, and along the way there, I managed to acquire about 150 rental properties.
That's unbelievable. So this is since what you started in what, 1998?
In 1998.
So you've been going almost, 17 years or so now? Going on 17 years.
17 years.
And has it just been a slow and steady process of just acquiring a couple a year? What does that look like for you?
For me, it has been. It's just been a slow and steady process. And I did a lot of it through traditional bank loans. And then when I couldn't get any more bank loans, I started incorporating my mom and dad to get loans and my brother. And I even got my grandparents involved in the business. I got them a bunch of rental properties, and we're 50-50 partners on a bunch of houses. And then after all that went, I started raising private capital and looking for owner-financed homes and land contracts, and just kept building and building it from there.
Wow, you've done a little bit of everything. And so how many doors do you have now?
About 150.
150. And is it all single family or any of it multifamily?
It's mostly single family. I do have a 7-unit apartment building and a 48-unit apartment building as well.
Oh, wow. And do you count towards those 150 doors, or is that 150 single family?
No, about 100 of them are single family.
Okay, gotcha. 100
does count in there, yeah.
Yep. But still, man, that is a serious portfolio. And I know over the last couple of years, having been up there and talked with you, that Cleveland obviously got pounded pretty hard during the town downturn, and you were scooping a lot of these houses up for what? Like, what was an average price?
You know, during the real coming out of that mortgage meltdown, one of the worst times, I was buying homes single digits, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. I mean, really cheap stuff. And that's the deal I'm going to talk about today, Ken. I have a, you know, we want to talk about one of my best real estate deals ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Cleveland, it's not hard to find great deals, but in this particular situation, I wasn't looking for a great deal that day. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a steal of a deal that day. and that's what I looked for. So I'm sitting at my desk one day. It was a few years ago now. And I'm going through some leads of you know, short sales I had and people who were inherited homes. And I was looking for a deal. And I'm a single family home buyer. That's my model. That's what works best for me. So I couldn't find anything. So I started looking at the bank list. And I thought, man, there's got to be a way. I'm trying to shake one heck of a deal here today. So I started looking at 2 and 3 family homes. Bank REOs. 2 and 3 family. And see, our job as real estate investors, and it's not always just to find a great deal, but there's a way to find a higher and better use for a property. Mm-hmm. That's really what a great real estate investor does. So here in Cleveland, it's very hard to rent these 2 and 3 family homes. Well, let me say, it's not hard to rent them. It's hard to manage them. They're not very desirable. It's the cheapest you can live in Cleveland is in a multifamily home. The rents are between $400 and $500, and their turnover rate is very, very high. So I wasn't a very big fan of 2 and 3 family homes, but I started looking at this REO list thinking, what can I do with this? There's got to be opportunity here. These doubles are so cheap. There's got to be opportunity. So I ran across a 3-family home that the bank had listed for $19,900 on the market like 5 months. And I made an offer on this 3-family home for $9,000.
It was listed for $19,900, a 3-family home for $9,000.
Yeah, yeah. And mind you, $19,900 is already a steal, okay? Sure. It's already a great deal, but I wanted a better deal. So they took the contract at $9,000. So I go into this home. I did a very, very light rehab. All I did was I changed the gas meter over from 3 meters to 1 meter. I took the 2 hot water tanks and made them 1, and did a little bit of paint, a little bit of carpet. The rehab cost me about $6,000, Ken.
Oh my God.
So I'm in this thing for $15,000, and I now have basically what I have here is I have an 1,800 square foot, 7-bedroom, 3-bath home.
How in the world do you get 7 bedrooms into 1,800 square feet? That's amazing.
It's amazing. Three floors in this property.
Okay.
And you know, it was used at some point as a 3-family home. And this landlord, I would assume, just had a bunch of, you know, probably headaches because 3 families in a single family home that was turned into a triplex, just, you know, not a good situation for turnover purposes. And that's probably why I lost it in foreclosure. So I went back in and changed this thing back to a single family. And now here I am with this somewhat rehabbed 7-bedroom, 3-bath home. And I decide I'm going to put Section 8 in there. I figure what a great opportunity to give someone a nice big house. In our local area here, our municipality, you know, it's a lot of single moms who have a lot of kids and they need these big homes. There's a need for it. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to the Section 8 Housing Authority and I got someone. And the person I put in there was a very nice a lady who's just left me about a year ago, actually. I had her in there 4.5 years, but she was moving to Florida. That's another story. But the Section 8 paid me $1,250 per month for that home, fully subsidized. They paid the entire $1,250 a month.
What in the world?
I know.
$1,250 a month on literally a $15,000 purchase in rehab.
Personally, $15,000, $1,250 a month. I got there for about 4.5 years before she decided to move. And just amazing. I got to tell you, it's not unusual, though. These deals, they are still out there. I bought several since on that same model, and it works. And I've made a lot of people very, very happy. There's not a lot of houses like it. Not a lot of landlords are doing that. And it's a win-win for everybody, really.
Well, it's sort of a unique strategy. You're probably flying under the radar. Everybody's looking for just the single family REOs, and you're looking at this sort of subset of these 2 and 3 family homes, and you swoop in and you know, nobody's looking for them and nobody's thinking about converting them back to single family. If anything, most people are looking at single family, figuring out how they can convert it to multifamily.
Well, you're absolutely right.
You did it the other way around and really cashed in on it.
And it runs so smooth because it's just one family there. They're very appreciative. They're happy to be there. I've debunked the myths of Section 8 as well. You know, it's another podcast to talk about, but everyone says, ooh, Section 8. You know, Ken, I have 150 units. I'll say it again. And the only tenants that call me Mr. Lieber are my Section 8 tenants.
Well, they're just happy to be there. What would you say your percentage of your portfolio is Section 8?
Small percentage, less than 20%.
Okay. Yeah.
But and the only reason for that is that I do other things with giving people the opportunities for home ownership through my, you know, rent to own programs and mm-hmm. things of that nature. But I am a big fan of Section 8. I think it's fabulous. And this house was just an absolute dream deal. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, Ken.
No, that's a killer deal. And a lot of people talk about their best deal ever as, you know, their flip that they made so much money on, or they, you know, some sort of creative financing. This might be the first one that's just really just a good long-term hold that was really a slam dunk because your cost was so low and then your cash flow that's produced from it is ridiculously high comparatively. I think that's killer. Now, if only all 150 of your doors were that strong, right?
Yeah, that would be really cool, right?
You know, the other cool thing that I know about you from just having spent some time together is that, you know, you got this portfolio out there of 150, you know, some doors, but you are actively paying this portfolio off. I know you've got a lot of short amortizations, private money, and in very short order, you're going to own this thing outright. Maybe speak to that a little bit.
I am. So, Ken, what I decided a few years ago was, you know, how many more doors do I need, you know, to really be happy and ultimately wildly successful? And I feel like I have enough doors. So my goal now, or a few years ago, was just to pay off as quick as possible. So what I started doing was I started raising private money from physicians and people all over the country. I would raise $100,000 blocks on a 5-year amortization at 15%. Mm. And somebody say, "Hey, Joe, you're paying a lot of interest. You're paying 15%." Yeah, I was. But you know what? When you can make 35, 45, 50% ROI, I didn't care because I knew in 5 years the whole thing is paid for.
My gosh.
I call it car note financing on real estate. And the crazy thing is I can still cash flow, and I cash flow well. My model was about to buy 5 homes per 100,000, or take 5 of my loans I had and put them almost refinance 5 of my houses onto that model.
Yeah, right.
And it's great. So right now I've raised a lot of blocks of money, and right now I'm in payoff mode. And you know, every couple of months, my receptionist come in here and say, "Hey, one of those houses, another group of those houses are paying off this month. You're making your final, you know, loan payments." And it's just, I'm a big cash flow guy. So nothing feels better than to come in every month and have all that cash flow sitting here. Because whether I come to work or not, that money is going to come in.
Oh, ultimate mailbox money machine for you. I mean, and especially give it a couple of years when it's all paid off. I mean, we're going to find you in the Bahamas or something just collecting mailbox money.
Oh, I hope so. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're ground zero for one of the best markets for specifically for cash flow. I mean, the fact that you can buy a house for $10,000 to $20,000 and get that sort of rent consistently and get good tenants. I mean, you've really capitalized on it. I'll hand it to you. That's awesome.
It is going up here, though. I got to tell you, the market is changing and things are rising. Those single digit homes are gone. Heck, it's even hard to get them in the 20s right now. Yep. You know, things are going up, but there's still phenomenal opportunity here. Where are you going to buy a house for $35,000 at $800 a month in rent? This is ground zero. The Midwest is the answer, and Cleveland, Ohio is a hot spot. You know, I like to tell people, Ken, I'm not the only one dunking real estate deals here. I got LeBron James dunking balls. So it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a great market.
That's right. It's a good place to be. And now his picture's back up on the building downtown. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, Joe, maybe tell our audience how they can find you. I know you just got a brand new website up where you're selling turnkey properties. Maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
I am. So I'm going to start a little mini turnkey model here. There's, you know, a few things that I'm going to start doing turnkey. I just enjoy it so much. After meeting a lot of you guys who are doing that turnkey model, it's fascinating. It's fun. I love meeting new people. I love when you guys fly in or you send your clients up here. It's a blast. So I'm going to start doing more of that. My website, clevelandinvestor.com. My office telephone number, 440-387-4800. I'm rated extension 2 if you want to reach me direct. And that's it. I appreciate it.
Clevelandinvestor.com. We'll put it up on the show notes. If anybody wants to reach out to him and check out some of his properties, feel free to do that. Joe, thanks so much for being on the show, man. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank
you. All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm Podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do 5 simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number 1, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number 2, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number 3, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number 4, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number 5, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all 5 of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.